As God's people, we come together around God's holy word, and as we do so, we ask for God's guidance. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh Lord, open our eyes today, that while this world is sometimes dark and treacherous, you are the light in our midst. May we reflect on you as you reflect on us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we'll hear from a variety of scriptures, and as we do, I'll invite you to kind of reflect in different ways. But today, we turn first to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Let us listen together for God's holy word. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee. They were mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Our second scripture comes to us from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. We listen again for God's word. "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I find it interesting that Paul's not concerned about who he baptized. He doesn't keep a member role, just for the record, O Presbyterians. As we turn now to the psalm, which is the prayer book of the Hebrew people, I invite you, if you are comfortable, to close your eyes and to imagine these words as a prayer. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter, in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Amen. Today we turn also to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. And so we listen again for God's holy word. The prophet says, "But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A while back, because I'm a nerd when it comes to all things scriptural and theological, I was delighted when the answer to a Jeopardy question was the biblical proverb, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." That's, of course, the King James for all you NRSVers out there. I'm one, too. Today's passage from Isaiah is all about having vision in difficult times, seeing what God is doing and being able to then respond. The people who've walked in great darkness have seen a great light, says Isaiah in the text today. Now, I'll tell you a little story. My wife, Kate, and I, and along with some of our friends, love to participate in escape rooms. Now, if you're not familiar with what this is, they're not scary. Well, some of them are, but the ones we go to aren't scary. But they're essentially a game where you are put into a room and you have to find and follow clues to figure out how to get out of the room, to solve the scenario that you're put into. Now, one room we did a few years ago was completely dark, pitch black. And we were given like two flashlights for the 6 to 8 of us that were in there. Two little dinky flashlights to find our way. It was a great challenge to figure out what you needed to do in the room. It was dark. But there were 6 of us trying to do this, stumbling about, fumbling over each other, trying to find our way. Now, I'll say, I think the darkness Isaiah describes is not quite so literal as what we faced in that escape room, but I would say it was far more challenging. Our lives were not on the line, thank goodness. You see, in Isaiah's day, it was life and death. Scholars debate what period in the history of Israel the passage we read today is meant to describe, but it's likely connected to the darkness the nation faced when it was divided in two by a terrible civil war. The northern territory of Israel then being taken over by the Assyrians. You see, the people of God were at war with each other and with the world around them. All that the nation held dear, their hope and their identity as God's own, was being put into question by the circumstances of their day. Describing the situation, which could be representative of any situation of despair and darkness, commentator Julia Klassen says, "Without imagination, without a vision of what life could and should be, people indeed might remain trapped in darkness." We see this in our day, don't we? What we need in the face of darkness is what theologian Walter Brueggemann calls the prophetic imagination. That is, the ability to see in the dark, or perhaps better, to see beyond the dark. This is what Klassen describes as Isaiah's objective, to provide his hearers images of light while it is still dark, joy while people are sorrowing, peace when the war is still raging. Not false peace, not false light, but vision for beyond the darkness that is. And without the vision of this light, the people will perish. Such a day of peace and justice as envisioned in this text may never come, says commentator Gene Taylor, but it certainly will not if there is no image drawing people toward it. And perhaps this is why Jesus references this passage in the Gospel of Matthew as he's beginning his ministry, calling the disciples. In the text we heard earlier, Jesus calls to mind the words about light amid darkness from Isaiah, begins to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's right here. And as he shares this good news, he goes from town to town, curing diseases, curing illnesses. You see, Jesus is showing us that while there is still yet darkness in this world, in the form of disease, in the form of sorrow, and even war, the light has come near. Now, those of us who struggle to live in the kingdom of heaven in our day and age sometimes see only the darkness, don't we? When you pick up the newspaper or read your updates on your phone, the darkness is there. We get tunnel vision. Perhaps there's a flashlight or two to go around every so often, but for the most part, most of us stand there and we aren't near the light. We see it in a distance. We just grope about in the darkness, fearful of what we'll find, desperate for someone, anyone who will turn on the lights for us, even for just a brief moment. As a director of a summer camp, I know all too well how scared kids get in the dark. Doubly so when we go out into the woods at night. We occasionally will take night hikes, especially with our junior hires. Each child bringing along their flashlight just in case, right? We tell them to keep it off. Keep your light off. Almost invariably, every time someone gets scared and, bing, on goes the flashlight, which, of course, many of you know will ruin any night vision that people were developing. Now, we'll get them then to turn off the light again, and after a while, following their counselors, the kids get over their fear and finally begin to be able to see in the dark. But it isn't just kids, is it? Oh, adults. Deep down, I think we're all a little scared of the dark. We try to beat it back with the technology of our day, lights, gadgets to prolong the day, staring into our handheld devices until the wee hours of the morning. Anything that will give us that false sense that we have control, control even over the darkness, control even over our lives. But the illusion wears thin when we realize we can't control when the darknesses of our world come, when cancer strikes, when death comes unexpectedly into our midst. We can't control the world any more than the Israelites could control the Assyrian army that attacked them from the north. We can't even keep the darkness out of our own hearts that causes a civil war within our very selves. We are a people divided, and I don't just mean Republicans and Democrats. We've been divided within our very selves ever since a serpent convinced us that we'd be better off if we were in charge. And ever since we left Eden, we've been walking in the darkness, even though we pretend like we're not. On a global scale, World War I was supposed to be the war that ended all wars, said Robert Cornwall. He goes on to say, but two decades later, an even more devastating war was underway. He says, in the aftermath of that war, the nations tried to create a new body, the United Nations, we know it, that would resolve conflicts. But war broke out almost immediately. And we look around us, and such is the situation even in our day. The division continues. The darkness continues. And so we need, we require, we have to have the imagination of the prophets. We need a creativity not of humans. We need the creativity of God. For while there is no vision, the people perish. Or as Eugene Peterson's The Message puts it, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. He says, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. blessed. I think it's appropriate that we hear this message from Isaiah in this season of Epiphany. It's what we're in, by the way. As commentator Bo Lim puts it, Epiphany appropriately falls in January, during the winter, before spring has arrived and the days have lengthened, to remind the people of God that we live according to a different clock. Epiphany, she says, is the season of light, not during the day, but a season of light amidst the darkness. It's a season of light that ushers in the daytime, and in this regard, Epiphany is one step ahead of the world. I love that. And this is the call that Jesus extends to the disciples and to us, to be one step ahead of the world, to tell others about the light while it's still dark, to proclaim to others that the yoke has been broken even as it hangs about our necks. You see, my friends, this is the good news of the gospel. The good news is that while it's still dark, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, sees us walking along this frightful road that leads away from Eden. Jesus comes right up alongside us, takes our hand because he's got the best night vision of all, and he turns to us and says, "Follow me. Put down the flashlight. Put down the things that you cling to. Take my hand. Follow me. The light is this way." Thanks be to God. Amen. In this time, I invite you to find a posture of prayer. If it helps to put your feet flat on the floor, your hands in your lap. If it helps to close your eyes, do so. And I invite you to take a few moments in quiet meditation to sense where God's light is in your midst, the midst of your darkness in your day. And in a few moments, I'll close us in prayer. God of grace, we give thanks that you are in our midst, that even when it's hard to see, hard to take our next step, you are right there, showing us the way, the truth, and the life. May we learn to look around your world with eyes that are not blinded by the false and flashlights of our days that try to capture our attention. But instead, may we look around with the light of Christ to see how you are bringing wholeness and healing, the shalom that only you can bring, into the midst of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Guide us, O God, in the darkness when we are surprised by the challenges of life. Remind us that you are walking alongside us. And help us, O Lord, to reach out in the darkness and take the hand of someone who needs your guidance along the way. May we be that connecting piece, the one who draws people to you wherever we go. We pray this, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.